all because of him. And praise the Lord tonight for his blessings upon us, that we can serve him in a continual way of following his path and his direction. If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, and we'll continue on with the part of the message from last Sunday. Sunday night we dealt with chapter 2 of Ephesians, and thought we'd get in chapter 2 and chapter 3 both, but that did not work out. And so tonight we'll be in chapter 3, but we'll re-look at some things in chapter number 2 after we read these verses. In Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, Ephesians 3 and 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in order in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto us holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known all men what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, which is hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Reading those 12 verses, Paul is introducing to these Gentiles. He makes it very clear here that the things that he had was for the Gentiles, that they might also be partakers of the good grace of the Lord and the good things that God had for them. Last week we dealt with the condition of men, and we dealt a little bit with the spiritual needs that folks have. You and I have that need. We had that, and I'm glad that it is taken care of in the Lord Jesus Christ. We noticed last week in chapter number 2, we found it a number of times that the words are given to us in Christ or with Christ or through Christ. And we found in verses 1, 2, and 3 in chapter 2 that we have a spiritual problem. That problem is a need that only can be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a course that we follow. It's a course of this world that is totally opposite of what the Lord has. And our conversation in time past was in wickedness and ungodliness. We found that we have a spiritual provider in verses 4 through 7, how that he loved us and he lifted us. He gave us life and he gave us abundant joy. He lavished us with his goodness and his graces. That's found in chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And then we noticed in verse 8 through 10, the spiritual plan that he gives to us in Ephesians 2, those very familiar verses there in that chapter, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." And we are his workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus. And so he goes on and he tells us in the latter part of chapter 2 that we are fellow citizens with him. And we have a joining together. We have been framed fitly joined together in verse number 21. Now in chapter 3 tonight, where we began reading, we find that we have those things given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Given to us that we have holiness and the blessings of the Lord. And Paul says, I, Paul. So we have no problem understanding he is the one doing the writing. He is the one that's giving to us. And he's writing to you Gentiles. I'm glad tonight that Paul was used of the Lord. That he could write to us, not only through the book of Ephesians, but he could write to us, to those people, but to you and I tonight as a child of the King. And I think I mentioned last week that in the book of in the books of the New Testament, there are 78 times that that little phrase, in Christ, is used. 78 times the Lord tells us that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are a part of Him and He's a part of us. And so tonight I want us to consider and to look at some of the blessings that we have for being in the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that you and I have tonight in our life is that we are born again. We have an eternal salvation that has been given to us that can never be removed from us, and to have safety from all harm given to us from the Word of God. To know that heaven is our home, and to know that one day the Lord will come back and receive us unto Himself, and we will be with Him forever and forever. We'll be safe, we'll be secure, and we will be satisfied in the Lord. Although heaven is a wonderful place, we look forward to that. We sing about heaven, we preach about heaven, we think about heaven, we pray concerning the things of heaven. But you know, the wonderful things that we have right now here upon this earth is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times our eyes upon the things of the world when our hearts ought to be upon the things of God. We live in a world that is filled with problems. We have a world that's full of disappointments, and sometimes we fail to realize just how blessed we are as the people of God. We have the physical blessings of the Lord. He provides for us. He gives to us. He gives us protection. He, through His providence, He moves us around and makes us fit and usable in His work. And most of us can say tonight that we've been blessed of the Lord. Whatever maybe comes in our life, or maybe is already there, we can say that we are blessed of God. The song says, count your many blessings, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. If we just sit down and think about our many blessings, it will amaze us at what God has done for us. So tonight I want us to look at just a few of those spiritual blessings that God has for us, that sometimes we overlook them. Sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we don't really realize when we're living in the total blessings of the Lord, sometimes we forget that this is not just common everyday occurrences in our life. But God uses these things to help us to have life and have a blessed life because of Him. First thing I want to mention is found in chapter 3 here, verse number 19. We did not read that verse a moment ago, but it says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We have one of the great blessings tonight as a believer. We have this thing called an incomprehensible love of God. We cannot explain it. We cannot put it into words. You cannot put it into explanation. And Paul tells us here, the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's beyond our knowledge to realize and to really know what it means for us to say God loves me. For God to come down through in His Son and give Himself for us. It was a love that was incomprehensible, We can't explain it. We can't put it into words. We can't write about it. Even though there's been many books written about the love of God, there's been many songs written about the love of God, been many poems written about God's love, we still lack words when it comes to love. We lack the words of explaining what it really means to have love in our heart and how that God would even love us. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 14, the Bible says concerning Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. God wants to redeem and has redeemed a group of people. He has taken our iniquities, and as we noticed this morning, he has taken them away from us. Our sins have been forgiven, and now we are a peculiar people. We are different from the world. We think different. We act different. We live different than the ungodliness of this world. And it's all because of his love that has been placed upon us. So Titus 2:14 says he has redeemed us and purified us as a peculiar and a particular people. Then 1 John chapter 4, we'll be reading a number of verses tonight. In 1 John chapter number 4, the Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." So many times we think about how much we love the Lord and how much we try to express our love to him. But I'll tell you, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ far surpasses our love for him. And Paul, or John here says, this is love. Herein is love. And John tries once again to explain this thing about love. It's not that we loved God, but it's that God loved us. And then the verse goes on and says, "And sent his Son to be a propitiation." That's a big word. Propitiation. It just simply means a substitute, a sacrifice for our sins. God sent his Son to sacrifice himself for our sins. No wonder it's hard for us to determine how to, or try to even explain the love of God. It passes understanding. It passes that knowledge that is given there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. "The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." And so we talk about the love of God, and many times sometimes we feel like that when we preach on the love of God or talk about the love of God, people around us would think maybe we're just sort of soft on the things of the world. But I'll tell you what, we'll not exist tonight without God's love. We'll not exist without the goodness of God and the love of God that has been given to us. Herein is love, not that we love God. It's not our direction. It's not our way of loving him. But it's he that loved us and gave himself a propitiation or a substitute for our sins. John, the Gospel, chapter 15 and verse number 13. The Gospel of John says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And while we were not the friends of the Lord, God laid down his life. No greater love can be expressed than someone would lay down their life and that he would lay down his life for his friends. Oh, how the Lord loves us. It's an incomprehensible love. And we live under the shadow of God's love all the time. And sometimes we just do not realize, we do not really recognize all the benefits that God has given to us. So not only do we have a love that we cannot understand, you cannot explain it, you cannot write it down, you cannot tell all the facets of it, but we also have a righteousness. God has given to us his righteousness, and it will not, it cannot be defiled. Now, Isaiah says that all of our righteousness is as a filthy rag. It's as a rag that would be bound around a sore or something that would be dirty and something that would not be needed to be looked upon. And Isaiah said all of our good works, all that we think are so good, when compared to the righteousness of God, it's just like a filthy rag. And so he tells us here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but of that which through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Paul says here that it's not the righteousness that we have. And Paul, I think, makes a personal reference here. He says, which is of the law. The Bible tells us, Paul gives us in his writings, that he was a Pharisee. He was born a Pharisee. He was raised a Pharisee. And he even says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That means he was the chief of all of them. And Paul says the righteousness that came through the law is nothing. The righteousness that he had, Paul was a very zealous individual. When he was going around causing havoc and trouble to the Christians of the early church age, Paul thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing God God's business. And so therefore he had papers in hand to put them in jail, to kill Christians. And Paul says, that's my righteousness. But when he come to know the Lord, he says, I'm found in him, not of my righteousness, not by the law. But he said, I'm found in him through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. And the only righteousness we have comes by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people tonight that have trouble with this little word faith. A lot of folks, if they cannot see it, they will not believe it. And you will never see faith. All you can see about faith is the action of faith. You can see the end result of faith. You can see what happens because of faith. But you can't look out in the open sky and say, well, there's faith floating around and that'll take care of me. Now, faith is what we have in our heart that is unseen, unknown to the world, and that righteousness that comes to us by the Lord comes by faith, comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 33. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to accuse us of anything? We are chosen of the Lord. We are God's people, and it is God that justifies us. It is God that brings us to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, a knowledge of, first of all, of our sin, a knowledge of who we are and what we are, and then brings us to a knowledge of that sinless one, the Lord Jesus, whereby we can come and know him. So we have a love that can't be understood. We have a righteousness that cannot be defiled, because it's not defilable. It's God's righteousness. Everything he does is perfect and pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Thank the Lord tonight, in him is no sin. If there's any sin in the Lord, then there's sin that cannot be taken care of. If there's any sin in the Son of God, then there's no justification, there's no payment, there's no way of having life given. But John says, in him is no sin, and he was made known to take away our sins because of what he has done for us. Number 3, we have a peace that cannot be understood. We have a peace that passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Very familiar verse of Scripture. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're talking about being in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we have a peace that the world knows nothing about. We have a peace in our heart, in our life, in our mind that they have no understanding at all, because they have not the Spirit of God. The things that we understand, the things that we know, are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit reveals to us. That Holy Spirit, the day we got saved, moved in our life, moved in our body, moved in our heart. And now he goes with us, and he's there to teach us and to train us and to give us peace. That's why the Lord could say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's why the Lord could say in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." The world does not give peace. It only gives temporary satisfaction. But Jesus said, "I give you peace, not as the world gives," but says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." A lot of fearful things in our old world. We don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to take place in our flesh. We may find tomorrow will be a terrible day, but I'm glad, thank God, He gives us peace. Peace that passes the understanding of human reasoning, human thought, human mind. It's a peace that no one else can give except the God that has sent Jesus Christ to us. Peace I leave with you. Jesus was our comforter, and He said, "When I leave here, I'll send you another comforter." And that other comforter is none other than the Holy Ghost of God, or the Holy Spirit. And He says, through that Spirit, I give you peace. And your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Your heart doesn't have to be burdened down. Thank God we have a peace that can be given to us, and the world knows nothing about that. We have a joy that never fades away. Tonight, and I've said so many times, Christians are the only people, and you probably can quote this back with me, I've said it so many times, but you and I, as a child of God, Christians are the only people that can have a tear going down their face and still have joy in their heart. Circumstances does not affect our joy in our heart. Circumstances affects our emotions, and we're all emotional people. I'm an emotional person. You have certain emotions. We're all different, and what might disturb me, what might make me emotional, might not bother you a bit, and vice versa. But we are all emotional people, and we all have joy. We all have things in our life that we enjoy. But a child of God, we have a joy that never fades away. Even though struggles come, even though problems come, we have a joy in our heart. What does the song say? I have the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I pray God would help us to recognize that wonderful joy that God has given to us. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." So the Lord tells us that He has given us joy, the fullness of it, and it's in His presence when we have Him in our life. He tells us at His right hand are pleasures that are reserved for the child of God. Jude, little book of Jude, only has one chapter. Verse number 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling," he says, "and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Jude is sometimes called that preface to the Revelation. Jude talks about the judgment of God. Jude talks about those that left the blessings of God and the judgment of the Lord upon them. And here in verse number 24, in that little chapter, in the little book of Jude, he tells us here that He is able to keep us from falling, and He can present us faultless before His glory, and it says, with exceeding joy. I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. Have the joy of the Lord in my soul. So we have peace, we have understanding, we have blessings, we have all these things, we have joy that does not fade away, but then also we have a light. There's no darkness at all. The Scripture says that we have a light that cannot be darkened. Now here in a few minutes, we'll go out of this building, and whoever ends up leaving out of here last, we'll flip those switches back there, and the darkness will overtake the light in this building. Before I got saved, before you got saved, there was nothing but darkness in our life. But thank God the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ came to us. And because of that gospel and because of that light, the scripture says that darkness will never overtake the light of God. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." We may turn these lights off, but the light of the world will never be turned out. The gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are blessings that we have in Christ. Last week we didn't have a very good picture of what we are. Chapter number 2 of Ephesians doesn't give a very good commentary on how good we are. Our condition is terrible. We have a spiritual problem, a spiritual need. And our condition, our course, our conversation, everything about us was wicked. But thank God we have a provider. His name's Jesus. And He being the Son of God, coming to die for the sons of men, and because we know Him, we have these joys that are given to us in our life. These wonderful things, these blessings of being in Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region, the shadow of death, light is sprung up." You see, tonight the world remains in darkness. But you and I and every believer, it doesn't matter if they live in Kentucky, California, doesn't matter what state, doesn't matter what nation they may live in this world, they have seen that great light, the light of life that lighteth the souls of men that will believe upon Him. What a great blessing it is to have a love, to have righteousness, to have peace, to have joy, to have light. Number 6, what a great peace it is, what a great blessing it is to have a sufficient grace. My grace is sufficient. Whatever happens, His grace is sufficient. We know the story. We've mentioned it many times. We've heard sermons and read books and heard a lot of things about Paul and his deficiency of his life, of his flesh. And by the way, all of our flesh is deficient. If we go around the room tonight, it might shock us if we found out all of our deficiencies. We cover them up pretty good. We'll take something to cover it up. Everybody does that. That's a deficient life. But I'm glad for whatever is deficient in my life and your life, I'm glad His grace is sufficient. He is able to provide. I think of some of the things that go on in the lives of people. I wonder how would I handle certain things? I don't know if I could handle. We don't realize until we get there whether or not we would how we'd be able to do that. But His grace is sufficient for us. One of the things that I guess that bothers me as much as anything right now is when you all are singing, I'm usually back here just listening. Because I can't sing like I would love to. The voice is not there. Every once in a while it is, and then when I use it, I have a problem. But that's something that's there. I can't do anything about that. But I'm glad His grace is sufficient. I can read the words, and I can listen to others do the singing, and to realize that everything we have comes from the Lord. Everything we have, and I guess this throat problem has been more of a bother to me than anything I've ever had. But we realize His grace is sufficient. And what I face tomorrow or what I face the day after tomorrow may be worse than that, may be more difficult than that. But whatever it might be, His grace will overtake and will oversee. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards or keepers of the manifold grace of God." living grace, suffering grace, serving grace, even dying grace is there available for the child of God. That's one of the many wonderful blessings of being in Christ. And then lastly, in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," and I have underlined in my Bible, "all these things shall be added unto you." Seeking the kingdom of God, God says, "I will give you resources that are inexhaustible, can never be worn out." You know, God doesn't have an end to His supply. God doesn't have an end to where He says, "Well, I'm out. I can't give you any more." God doesn't have that. Thank God His resources are never exhausted. He is there for us forever and forever. Philippians 4:19, that very familiar verse says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You notice there it doesn't say He'll supply all your needs. It's not plural there. But every need that you have, one at a time, God says, "I will supply. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Chapter 2, we are put in the grave. Chapter 2, we are said that we're dead in sins and trespasses. Chapter 2 tells us that we have a deliverer. We have a Savior. He lifts us up. He gives us life. And chapter 3 says that we have blessings because of Him. We have these manifold blessings and the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that we might have the fulfillment of His love and His work in our heart and our life. I pray God would help us to remember tomorrow we have the blessings of the Lord. We have the blessings of God, and they shall never, never perish. We have a home in heaven, and He is waiting there for us. And one day we shall be with Him, and we'll sit around the good things of God and sit down around the table of our Lord, and we'll just rehearse and we'll remember of all the many blessings God has for His people. And we can rejoice and say, "I remember that day God did that for me." Or, "I remember that day the Lord blessed me with this." And we'll have those manifold blessings abundantly given and supplied to each of us. May God help us to recognize, not take for granted, but to recognize every blessing from on high. Let's stand together.